With interest rates in the low to mid 20s, should we be buying everything with credit cards? Obviously, there's some pros and some cons, but is this really a good idea? With Americans $1 trillion in debt, are we really just kind of putting more gasoline on the fire? Well, we're going to take a listen to this recording and see if you should pay everything with a credit card, or maybe you should think of some different options. Let's take a listen.
Imagine ordering a coffee and slipping into a daydream. Are you also hearing Jennifer Garner ask,
"What's in your wallet?"
Well, what's in your wallet is very important. And as for all that credit card rewards talk, she might be onto something.
Most people should be able to save at least a few hundred dollars every year just by using the right credit cards.
If you travel as much as Peyton Manning,
extra night in San Diego,
morning,
or are a diehard Swiftie trying to save on those expensive concert tickets, as these commercials will tell you, there's a card for everyone, and those cards will save you money. Well, that is, if you have the funds to make the rewards worthwhile.
They could be really useful, or they could be dangerous. I think the biggest tip is to know yourself.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. My name is A.B. Ridgeway. I'm the host of Financial Advisor, Save the Darndest Things, and my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. And today we are talking about why you should buy everything with a credit card. And I was nervous. I was very, very nervous doing this as a certified private wealth advisor professional with over a decade of experience. You know, I understand the dangers of credit. Debt is a majority of the things that we have to deal with. Even if you're making six figures, $100,000, $200,000, $400,000 a year, we are still plagued by debt. You know, whether it's the boat that we buy or maybe the houses that we buy or paying our kids way through college, debt has a way to come into our households. And if we mismanage debt, it can be a snowball effect where it affects everyone involved. But brothers and sisters, he says something very crucial. These bonus cashback cards can be great if you have the funds to take care of them. If you don't, they can be very dangerous. I actually did a whole video on the value of these bonus points and how they're on the decline, just as if they were a true currency. But that's a whole nother video. Maybe I'll link it here somewhere. But we are going to listen to this video. I like how it starts. He has a disclaimer, so don't miss that disclaimer. That's why I paused it. That's why I gave you some time to breathe and to listen, because the pro is, if you have the money and the capability and resources and money management skills to take care of a credit card, they're a great thing. But if you don't have the money management skills, if you don't know anything about APR versus APY and what that all means, you may be in a little bit of danger. And all the money that you're spending in interest is going to those bonus points to people who do. Listen to this.
Love them or hate them, those plastic or metal cards that can instantly purchase anything from a coffee to a car are no stranger to consumers. More than 80% of Americans own at least one credit card. Every time you pay for something with a credit card, you're borrowing money from the card issuer to cover your purchase. While it might feel like it, it's certainly not free. You then have to pay that money back either in full at the end of the month or over time, with interest.
The average credit card charges about 20% interest these days, so it is a very profitable business.
So, first things first. If you're not in a place where you can pay that money back by the time it's due, experts don't recommend you have a credit card at all.
Paying 20% interest on a balance that you've accumulated, and then you pay interest on top of that, I mean, that's a really big hole that you're continuing to dig, and it's going to be really hard to get out of.
I love that concept, because we talk here on this show about compound growth and compound debt. And what she's saying is that with compound debt, your interest that you get charged is making interest charges in and of itself. So let's say you're at 20%, you have something for a dollar. That 20 cent is going to be charged 20 cent next year. And that 20 cents and those two 20 cents at that matter is going to be charged another 20% the following year. So it is just a snowball effect. You pay more and more for the things you have. Now, this is how you're going to overcome this. Hopefully this cognitive dissonance, like, I need credit cards. How am I going to make it? I don't have enough money. Think about it this way. If you are using credit cards and you don't pay it off by the end of the month, you are paying sometimes 20% more for that same item. So keep this in mind too. Let me give you this example. This will really got me off of credit cards. Credit cards are like microloans. And he has said it too. You're borrowing money from the credit card department. They're like microloans. Can you imagine going to the bank and says, "Hey, I need a loan for $1.20 because I want to buy a hamburger." They're like, "Okay, here you go." You got to go to the bank and says, "Hey, you know what? I need another loan because I want to buy a t-shirt from Walmart." The bank's like, okay. And then the next year, hey, I need another loan. I want to buy some ice cream. Can I get another loan? Can you imagine how ridiculous this sounds, right? You were like, well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't run to the bank. They know that. They know the fact you're not going to run to the bank. So what do? They give you a little card and you can make as many loans as you want up to that certain limit that they allow. And that is going to save them time. It's going to save them resources. And then you're not going to realize that now you're $10, $20, $30,000 in debt because of all these micro loans. It's not the big stuff. It's not the TVs we buy or the furniture that we buy. It's the small things that accumulate. It's the 50 fast food meals that we have. It's the 100 DoorDashes that we order. It's the tips that we put on our credit card. So now, not only are we paying for the stuff that we need, we're tipping and we're paying interest on those tips. It just gets ridiculous. So we want to get out of compound debt and we want to focus on compound growth. But let's keep going.
If you don't pay your credit card balance.
Credit cards require approval. Once you're approved, the bank authorizes a credit limit or the maximum amount of money you can borrow. That depends on factors such as your income, your other debts, and how much available credit you have on other cards. But here's the caveat. Whether or not you're approved depends on your credit score. Meanwhile, your credit score is determined by your credit report, the information related to your credit activity. Activity you might not have if you don't have a credit card. It's a catch-22.
How do you build your credit history? Well, the simplest thing is really to get a credit card, use your credit card, and pay it on time.
Credit scores generally range from 300 to 850. The higher the credit score, the more responsible you're deemed. Credit scores not only affect whether or not you get approved for credit cards, but also your credit limit and your interest rate on loans, mortgages, and the terms lenders may assign you.
Brothers and sisters, I want to take this opportunity to say, well, if it's a catch-22, what's the point of doing that? And they're just trying to set you up for failure. They're not. What they're doing is they're building this trust system. Credit is like a trust system where they say, okay, you owe money and you're paying it back. Okay, you borrowed $1.20 for that hamburger. You paid it back. Oh, you borrowed the money for that t-shirt. You paid it back. You borrowed money for that TV. And you paid it back. Perfect. We trust you. You have a history of trust. But if you loan someone $5, they don't pay you back. You're like, hey, what's going on here? And they're like, I'll pay you next month. And they give you $1. And then they're like, I don't have it right now. And then you see them buy more stuff. You're like, hey, where's my money? I need my money, right? How many of us know people like that, that borrow money, don't want to, you know, pay it back? Well, that's what the credit card is doing. But the credit card has something unique. They have a number that they can tell everybody, because what that person does, they borrow money from you. When you stop, what do? They go to the next person and then the next person, next person. And it's just this whole perpetual thing where they're borrowing money from all these other people and they're never paying them back. Well, unfortunately, you can't do that with credit because you have a nice little number ranging from, like she said, about 300 up to 850 that says, are you good at paying back your money? If you are, we trust you more and more willing to give you better rates. But if you mismanage the small things, the small loans that we give you for hamburgers and for t-shirts, why will we trust you with the mortgage? Why will we trust you with a $60,000 car? It doesn't make any sense. I just tell people, walking around with your credit score is like walking around with a number on your head. So people's like, I don't know, 300, I might not get my money back. No, I can't let you borrow money. But if you walk around with the 800 and 850, you're like, hey, you know what? You're a good person. You have a good history. So let's keep going. But your credit score is very important, especially when you start talking about borrowing. People's like, well, I don't want to get into debt. Well, when you're talking about mortgages and auto loans, sometimes you do need to borrow money, and it's better to get preferential rates or better rates because you have a history of paying your money back. And we'll talk about debt to income ratio and how that affects everything, but maybe that's another episode. If they bring it up here, I'll talk about it, but make sure that you tune in because we will talk about debt to income ratio and how that affects your credit score.
Insurance providers, landlords, and employers might also want to do a check to determine your trustworthiness.
If your goals are to buy a house, get a car, get a loan, the first thing that you need to do in order to build your credit history is to get that credit card going.
Those Jennifer Garner commercials are for Capital One, but there are numerous companies in the U.S. that offer a wide range of credit cards. There's the issuers, American Express, Discover, Bank of America, Citi, Wells Fargo, and then there are the networks. They facilitate transactions between the merchants and the card issuers. The four major card networks are Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. Two of the world's largest card networks, American Express and Discover, are also card issuers. There are standard credit cards, rewards cards, balance transfer, charge, student, business, secured, limited purpose, prepaid cards, and the list goes on. Different options that may or may not be right for you depending on your personal circumstances. Standard credit cards are the most traditional type. They have an annual percentage rate or APR, sign-up bonuses, annual fees, late payment fees, balance transfer fees, foreign transaction fees, and the most exciting, rewards.
There's actually a whole industry dedicated to maximizing credit card points and miles. Some people love it, and they love going down that rabbit hole and treating it like a game.
Bankrate.com senior analyst Ted Rossman earned more than $1,700 in rewards in 2022. But getting the most out of your credit cards depends on your spending habits. Which perks would save you the most money? So how do you choose?
If your family spends a lot on groceries, get a card that gives 5 or 6% cash back on groceries. Like, that's a really nice inflation buster right there. Maybe consider a second card that's just a solid flat rate, something like 2% cash back on everything. Most people should be able to get at least $200, $300, $400 a year just by using the right cards.
Yes, yes, you can get cash back. But if you're not using that money to pay off additional debt or save or to invest, all you're doing is using that money to buy more things. So it's not really inflation buster or anything else like that. And another thing they talked about, which I really love, is find the card that's right for you. Sometimes a prepaid card may be your best option where you load it up with like a secure card. So basically, a secured card is that you have an account. Let's say you have $2,000 in it. They'll use that balance as collateral and you can use the credit card. So if you don't pay, they can always get their $2,000 back. But that way you never go over your limit and you know exactly how much is going to be on the card and you can still build up your credit. So if you don't necessarily trust yourself, that would be a good way not to get into debt, especially if you have young children. They can start off with a prepaid card or they can start off with a secured loan card so they can start building good habits. You don't want to get them into a point. Like, I made my first mistake. I remember I had a store card from JCPenney's and I put a belt on there and I paid off the belt, but I didn't pay off a couple of cents. It was like maybe 20 cents or 30 cents. And I just forgot about it. I moved off. I went off to college. I went off out of the state and out of the country. And then I came back and I realized that I had this huge bill. I mean, those cents added really up. And I'm not saying they were just astronomical, but it was like $24. The belt was like $12. I had maybe a few cents left over, but the compound interest month over month really increased that total. And it really messed up my credit when I was early on. Luckily, I just paid it off in full. And then after a certain amount of time, it kind of goes off of your record. But the idea here is that you need to be diligent and make sure that you're not making those type of mistakes. You know, making sure you're staying on top of it. And those store cards are the most horrific because think about it. You have to spend money in their store. That's one. And also two, it's like, okay, I get store credit and store bonuses, but how much do I really have to spend? He talked about making $1,700 in cash back, but think about how much money he had to spend in order to get $1,700. Even at 2%, you're still looking at $50,000 that you're spending in order to get those rewards, if not more money, right? I'm just kind of doing this math quickly off my head. But the idea here is that money that you're spending, don't think about the cash back money that you're getting. Think about how much money you have to outlay in order to get some of those cash back rewards. And I think that will switch your mind. Like, okay, yeah, I made $200 cash back, but man, I spent thousands of dollars. Maybe I need to cut back on my spending, right? So anyway, let's keep going.
Rossman says the rewards that get the most attention are often travel related. Flights, hotels, rental cars, access to airport lounges, free or discounted TSA pre-check, priority passes, global entry, or clear to get you through those long airport lines.
I think a really good strategy for a lot of people is one of those transferable points cards, something like Chase Sapphire Reserve or Amex Platinum. Being able to transfer to different airlines and hotels opens up a lot of options. The sort of next level tip is within that, if you find partners of partners, like United's part of the Star Alliance and American is part of One World.
Then there's rewards for dining, groceries, gas, and also complimentary memberships and subscriptions. Big perks for many are extended warranty and purchase protection.
A couple years ago, I actually saved $300 on an Apple Watch repair. The credit card covered the replacement.
But according to Bankrate, Americans' favorite credit card reward is cashback.
I think especially now with high inflation, I mean, who couldn't use more cash, right?
Whereas redeeming for merchandise will likely not get you the most bang for your buck.
Yes, this is very true. You're not going to get that much for the points. As I said before, I did a video, hopefully I can link it here as well. The value of those points are declining. So let's say it took 2,000 points to get a certain flight. Now you need 5,000, 6,000 points, and it's not really even the equivalent of that money purchase that you have. So sometimes you're paying more. Sometimes the online prices are going to be more than it is if you just go to the regular store. I mean, you have to shop around. You have to be what they call cost conscious. I talked about it in some of my last videos, but we want to be cost conscious. We don't want to be stingy. We don't want to be, a miser or anything else like that. What we want to do is be cost conscious. Say, I am not paying extra money for this, or I'm taking my cash back and I'm going to invest it. I'm going to literally save it. I'm not going to buy more things for it. I'm not going to let it sit on the card and accumulate so I can buy free stuff. That's not what the point of cash back is. And remember, I said this in my last video, cash back is more like a coupon. When you use your credit card, it's like a coupon. So when you say I get 5% cash back, it's almost like an automatic 5% coupon that you're using, or 10% coupon that they're actually giving you back your money. You're still making that outlay. You're still making that debit. You're still making that purchase. They're just giving you a discount on your purchase, and they're showing you how much money you're actually saving. I remember when I was younger, my mom would just go get a bunch of coupons. So her total would be like $100. She scans all the coupons and it drops to $80. Now she doesn't get the cash back, but she saved herself $20, which stays in the bank. That's what credit cards are supposed to be, plus the protection. So if there's any fraud on there, you can get a credit card and then they can just wipe it off your account, right? Brothers and sisters, credit cards can be very dangerous. Now, we're talking about all the perks that can happen from rewards, but that's only when you're responsible, when you are doing the right thing with money. Because you can have a credit card, but if you don't have the money management skills, you are going to be in a world of trouble. You're going to find yourself $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in debt because you don't have the right mentality. You don't have the right skills. That's why it's important to listen to financial advisors say the darndest thing, because we let you know the truth. Yeah, credit cards are great. They have a lot of great perks, but how do they pay for those perks? You, when you don't pay your bill, when you have a large debt that you're paying and you're paying for the same item 3, 4, 6 times over, they are taking those rewards and giving it to people like me and the people that I work with in order to give them perks to attract more people. Point blank, period. So yeah, they give you a couple of percentage points here, but they're just waiting for that day you don't pay. Don't let that happen to you. But what's your experience with credit cards? Do you think everyone should buy everything with a credit card? Or do you think some people should start using cash to help manage their money? What are some different credit cards that you think are good for maybe young investors or maybe people who are seasoned and have a really great track record? What do you think works for you? How do you use your points? Let me know in the comments. I'd love to hear from you. If you're not subscribed, make sure that you do. Well, that's it for me. My name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.